you in the 06010.
Friday edition of the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. And for those that are watching live right now on the Twitter, on the YouTube, on the ESPN Fantasy app, wherever you might be watching, you probably saw Matthew dance. And right now, it's mask wearing days right now, yeah. Right? But we're covering our mouth. I wish I could find a mask right now that could cover both my eyes and my mouth, because what I just witnessed right there was an affront to dancing. What was that?
It was Gangnam Style.
That's what I thought it was. I almost said that.
Oh, wow.
Gangnam Style.
Because we did a bit on the fantasy show last year doing, so I was like, I remember those moves.
Yeah. And
how many hours did Matthew study Gangnam Style music video on YouTube to
Can
get
I tell
that?
First off, obviously, if you've never seen Gangnam Style.
You don't live on planet Earth.
Well,
yeah, I was going to say.
Search on YouTube, but I will tell you.
You're an infant.
A really fun moment for me this summer was, I don't know how it came up. Somehow that song came up, whether it was on the radio, something. Somehow that song came up in conversation. And my daughters asked me what it was.
Definitely your ringtone.
Obviously. I mean, like, you know. I was, you know, preparing for my Gangnam Style cosplay convention. My daughters asked me what it was. And so I showed them the video. Like, you know, they're 8.
Yep.
Like, they'd never seen. The video was, like, popular when they were, like, 4 or 5. And so I showed them the video, and just watching them watch it was awesome. Because, I mean, like, because it's such a bananas video. Like, the whole thing is just, like, makes no sense on any possible level. But it's crazy catchy, and, you know, like.
It's up there. Call Me Maybe, one of those very catchy songs. Every time you hear it, it brings back many a memory. So, Gangnam Style, go check it out on YouTube if you have not yet. I'm not going to lie. I haven't watched music video in a long time.
It's fun, though.
3.7 billion views on YouTube, so.
I thought it's less than.
How many?
I actually think.
3.7 billion.
By the way, and there's other versions of it that also have, like, all in, it's, you know, it's probably 6 or 7 billion views. I feel like it's the most watched music video.
I think it's the
YouTube
most watched
history.
Video on YouTube. If not, it's consistently in the top 10 if it's not the most watched.
It's got to be up there. So this is a good point that Haley just whispered into my ear thought. So the great Mike Ryan from The Lebatard Show, he produces The Lebatard
Show. Yeah, of course.
He, every day after the show, releases the Dan Lebatard Show playlist. And they all the songs they use to fade in and out of segments, etc., he puts on there. And it's always good music. We might need our own version of that. And we are entirely stealing that idea from Mike Ryan. And so far, our songs include Gangnam Style and... Anything else you've sung this year?
How about the theme to the Dan Lebatard Show?
That would work.
There you go. Why don't
that
we just do that?
That could work right there. We also have, of course, the wonderful Stefania Bell with us here today. She'll be giving us plenty of insight and making us all smarter.
What was your favorite part of Gangnam Style? Of the Gangnam Style video?
The cowboy. Just him doing the cowboy moves. You know, the lariat, right?
Yeah. The lariat
with the sunglasses.
The lariat's pretty good. I like him on the bus with the old people. I like the old people exploding off the bench.
You've watched this a lot this summer.
Seriously.
I've watched it
a million times. I like the I also enjoy the weird guy that dances with him in the garage.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen this music video in like 8 years, so I have zero clue.
Why don't we watch it together
right
now, me and you?
I think, you know what, there might be other ways to make better use of our time. So let's get right into it. Let's talk about some football with some Double Trouble.
We'll be back. We'll
see you soon.
Double Trouble.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
We're going to bring Stefania back in just a few moments here, because on today's show, we're going to be discussing two NFC South teams, a great division for fantasy football this year. We're going to talk about both the Falcons and the Panthers, the win total projections for these two teams via Caesars. I feel that the Falcons are low at 7.5, Panthers at 5.5. So that one makes a little bit more sense to me. I agree on that one. But the Falcons, let's talk about them. Let's start right there. And I want to start here, Matthew, because...
Okay. Where do you want to start?
So during the offseason, and we had a long offseason, it felt, even though it was not technically longer than it normally was. Oh, look at the Falcons background for those that are watching, by the way.
Little production value. Look at that, kids.
So during the NFL offseason, it gets really long. And it was super long during quarantine, obviously. And I think what ends up happening is basically every take is exhausted. So I'm not the first person to want to talk about a quarterback and whether he's underrated or overrated. But I kind of wonder if we've like totally come to underappreciate Matt Ryan. I feel like when we talk about the great quarterbacks in the NFL, we have a lot of the obvious picks. And Lamar Jackson, of course, Patrick Mahomes, players of that ilk, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, they deserve all the accolades that they receive. But it feels like just we just don't talk about Matt Ryan at all. Like, it just never comes up. His name is never mentioned, not in a bad way, not in a good way. Like, we just don't talk about him, and we should. Matt Ryan.
See, now you're talking about from an NFL perspective, right? You're talking about from an NFL perspective.
Yeah, yeah, but I think that maybe ties into fantasy a little bit.
No, I understand. But from an NFL's perspective, I agree with you. I think he's a little bit underrated. I think he's probably just a little bit too boring. There's never any drama around him. Name's Matt Ryan. Plays in Atlanta, you know? Always good, not great. I mean, the Falcons had the one Super Bowl, right? They had this one
and
Super Bowl
MVP
run.
Yeah.
Yeah, but other than that, like, he's always been, like, he's always been really good. Like, yeah. He's always been, like, a B+.
Since, like, the day he walked into the league.
Yeah, yeah. He is not a first ballot Hall of Famer, but I think he's a borderline Hall of Famer.
You know, you might be surprised. You really, it depends on when he retires and if he does make it to the Super Bowl again, but he could be. He, as of right now, you're right. But
I think he's borderline.
Yeah. He'll finish with tons and tons and tons of passing, maybe not records, but top five, top he'll, three in 100%. A bunch of categories.
If you look at his numbers compared with the numbers of other quarterbacks in the Hall of Fame, he will compare favorably. But you're right. Like, he's going to. 28-3 is going to haunt him until they get that monkey off his back. I will say, fantasy-wise here, Field Yates, that I think he is appropriately valued. I don't think he is overvalued. I don't think he is undervalued, because here's the thing. He is a model of consistency.
He is.
Right? He's a model of consistency. Top six in passing yards each of the past eight seasons. Nine straight 4,000-yard seasons, which is the longest active streak. That's every Julio Jones season.
Yep.
Right? Last year, 11 different games with 300 more yards. That's tied for the most in the NFL. In fact, since 2016, he leads the NFL with 29 different 300-yard passing games. Yeah, yet, without looking at it, where do you think he finished last year in terms of fantasy points?
Quarterback six.
Quarterback 12.
Quarterback 12. Okay.
No, that's fair. Doesn't run.
Yeah.
He doesn't run, and he's never a huge.
And he missed time last year, though. So total points is obviously impacted by the games that Matt Ryan missed last season. On a points per game basis.
On a points per game basis. He was quarterback 12.
I'm sorry. I thought you said total points. Okay.
I'm sorry. Quarterback 12 on a points per game basis.
Okay. Yep.
And like he had some stretches last year where he was, you know, not great. He was a top 12 quarterback in 40% of his starts.
Okay.
That's tied with Kirk Cousins for 15th most among qualifiers behind Gardner Minshew. I mean, like, just like, he's like, to me, he's 300 yards, two touchdowns, and a pick, like, every week.
Yeah. That could be.
With no rushing.
That does sound, yeah, that does sound about right when you describe that stat line right there. It does sound very Matt Ryan-esque. So, I don't know that we would need to have a boring conversation around a player that we are describing as somewhat boring, but Matt Ryan is going to be a quarterback that if you end up with him, the price is going to be reasonable. As you mentioned, he is the right now his ADP is quarterback 9, so it's not a major investment, right? Yeah. He's going to return investment, and he's got a chance to be, you know, a guy that even exceeds quarterback 9 by a little bit. Probably not by a ton, but by a little bit this year. So Matt Ryan, another quarterback that I feel very comfortable and confident in him as my starter going into this season. It may be that if you are of the patient type, this is the kind of quarterback that you'll wind up with in a lot of your drafts.
Here's a question for you, though, just a draft philosophy thing. I'm with you. Like, when he's going to be a top 12 quarterback this year, he is absolutely fine. He will not lose you your league.
Okay.
But I don't think he wins you your league. He's completely fine. So my question is you better
how often
off
do quarterbacks win your league?
Ask anyone that had Lamar Jackson last year.
Ooh,
we should draft quarterbacks early then.
If you look back to last year, there were just two quarterbacks that were amongst the 20 players that most frequently appeared on a championship-winning team last year.
Right.
Two of them were quarterbacks, and I believe one of them was Ryan Tannehill. So it actually wasn't that a lot of.
That's because Ryan Tannehill was a top three quarterback once he became the starter in Tennessee.
Right. So what I'm saying is that, like, a guy that you didn't even draft at all, obviously, wasn't even a starter at the time. So I don't know that you necessarily need to be as reliable. Like, how many quarterbacks truly win you your championship?
I think the people that had Patrick Mahomes last year. Listen,
2 years,
Lamar Jackson legit won you your league last year.
He may very well have. Yeah.
If you had Lamar Jackson on your team last year and you didn't win your league, it's not Lamar Jackson's fault.
Right.
How
but,
about that?
But over the past 2 years, two quarterbacks have been the catalyst to help you win a championship team. So if you're talking about a one, maybe two per year, then I'm not sure you need to be as worried about targeting a quarterback that's going to win you your league. Does that make sense?
It 100% does. I'm just curious. Listen, the price is right. He's going in the like 9th, 10th round, somewhere in that area. So, I mean, it's, and he is 100%, he is solid. He is rock solid. He is right down the middle. He is not going to lose you your league. He's going to be 17, 18, 19 points this year a game, right? It'd be fine. But my question is are you better off swinging for the fences with somebody that's going a little bit later that could have, like, Big Ben? Like, are you, you know what I mean? Like, if everything hits right for Big Ben, Big Ben's got a shot at top five, right? I mean, that's what I'm asking to you. Like, are you better off swinging for the, taking somebody that's a little bit later and swinging for the fences, or do you want just kind of like Johnny right down the middle in Matt Ryan?
Because my answer is that I'm okay with Matt. I want Matt Ryan in that circumstance because I think if everything breaks right for him, and I know we say this about a lot of quarterbacks, he has top five potential this season. He could throw for 5,000 yards easily. He's not going to rush, obviously, at all. But he's Ben Roethlisberger's not going to do that either. You could see 35 touchdowns from Matt Ryan and 5,000 passing yards. Maybe those picks are cut in half by down to 8 or 9. He could be in business for a top five fantasy season.
He is right there in that. To me, he's very similar to Drew Brees, to Carson Wentz, to Matthew Stafford. All the sort of guys that are really solid, high floors, but I don't know how high the ceiling is necessarily. Certainly, all of them are in pass-friendly offenses, and you're right, things could break right, but generally speaking, they're all going to wind up somewhere in that 7 to 12 range.
Yeah, both in ADP and probably season and finish. All right, there may not be a more important player to talk about from an injury standpoint this season than Todd Gurley. So, Matthew, I'm going to pass it on to you because we do have Stefania coming back, and Stefania's the best in the business. There's no doubt about that. This is a really important segment coming up for those that have any interest in drafting the Atlanta running back.
It's 100%. I want to know, Stefania Bell, as we go to the Chateau de Cone, in terms of how comfortable are you with Todd Gurley's knees, and do you have one that you prefer over the other?
Well, I'll probably take the right knee since it's the left knee that's been an issue for him.
Good note.
Look, I have one overarching question, Matthew,
and I think you
have to ask yourself. I want you to tell me what you think. Why would you think that anything has changed with regards to Todd Gurley's knee just because he moved from L.A. to Atlanta?
Well, I will tell you.
That's my question.
It's a very good question, and I just feel like the change in time zone. Like, probably has something to do with it, right? Yeah, that's my guess.
Well,
it's another year. Here's why, in all seriousness. I don't think that anything, quote unquote, has changed. But my concern is that Todd Gurley did not look like Todd Gurley in capital letters. And the Rams franchise, which is a franchise that has legitimate Super Bowl aspirations this year, the Rams franchise, and I understand there were economic considerations here, but the Rams franchise decided they were going to make their Super Bowl attempt this year without Todd Gurley. And they got rid of Todd Gurley. And so just from the eye test last year, he didn't have the same explosive burst that we have seen previously. The fact that the team that drafted him got out from under that contract and was okay going forward without him, those are things that make me a little bit concerned here. So, but am I wrong? Am I crazy? Because certainly he's going much later than he did, not much later, but he's going a little bit later than he did last year. And there are a lot of questions about Todd Gurley's health because the opportunity is massive in Atlanta, but can he hold up in that workload?
You are framing the exact question that everybody has. And
yeah,
I think
I'm the best in the business. That's,
you,
that's why.
If you are. If you expect Atlanta to use him the way Los Angeles did, then I think there's an opportunity for success. My biggest concern is that Todd Gurley will look great when they start. There will be a temptation to utilize him a lot. And then we have the potential to see what happened in 2018 when, after a great start to the year, he really struggled at the end. So here's the thing. After an ACL surgery, we know that there's a possibility for joint changes in the knee. And he had his ACL surgery before he came into the league, so it's been 6 years now. But you combine that with the wear and tear of his position, the volume of work that he has, the style of play that he had, and sure, you expect that knee to give him trouble as time goes on. There was the use of the word arthritic around his knee and a lot of discussion, a flashpoint around that term, but it really doesn't matter. There are a lot of guys with arthritis playing in the league who if you just looked at their films, you would think there's no way they can play it down, and yet they're very successful. It really comes down to functionality. And what you described, Matthew, is what we saw was a decrease in functionality of Todd Gurley. Not only were they controlling his workload, controlling his practice, he had a day off every week last year, he didn't do as much in training camp, and they limited his usage across the year. You also saw the decrease in explosiveness. The yards before contact dropped, the yards after contact dropped. He just did not look like the same player. And now Vaughn McClure, for us, already reporting that there's a discussion about limiting Todd Gurley's workload in Atlanta. So I think if they do that, it's smart for them, but maybe for fantasy, it decreases the upside.
So, Stefania, I ask you, of course, the million-dollar question. You play in, I don't know, 9, 10, 12 leagues a year. He's going as running back 15. He's going between Joe Mixon and Chris Carson. He's being picked in the middle of the fourth round. Considering his current ADP, are you drafting Todd Gurley for any of the Stefania Bells?
No.
There you go.
That was succinct.
That was succinct. Thank you very much, Stefania. Listen, one last question for you, Stefania. You have 8 billion degrees. You're the smartest person I know. What does wampum gangnam style mean? Do you know? You know?
I really don't.
Well,
if
you could do a little research.
I'd like to come up with something clever.
If you could do a little research between now and when we talk to you next, that would be appreciative. We will be right back with you in one moment, my friend.
Get on that.
All right, good. There you go. All right, so Field, the question becomes, Todd, I mean, like, we've heard the stuff about Vaughn McClure, you know, that you know, there's concerns about his health. There have been now about Todd Gurley's health. Not Vaughn, as far as we know. Vaughn is a model of health. We love Vaughn. My question to you, Field Yates, is, you know, is Todd Gurley truly touchdown dependent? Because you look at you know, can he be a more successful running back than he was last year? Last year was running back 16 on a points per game basis. He was very touchdown dependent last year. Very touchdown dependent.
Yep.
He's going to Atlanta to fill in for Devontae Freeman. In theory, he's going to get a big role.
Yep.
We'll talk about that in a second. But I'm just curious, your thoughts on Todd Gurley. Is he just a touchdown dependent running back at this point in his career?
He is not just a touchdown dependent running back at this point in his career. So a couple of things, and you said we're going to get to it in a second. I'm going to get to it right now, Matt.
Okay.
You look at this Falcons
like
depth chart right now.
You like to go right in.
Yeah. We look at this Falcons depth chart right now, and if it's not Todd Gurley getting the touches, it's Brian Hill or it's Cadre Allison.
Smith, baby. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, Ito Smith.
Yeah.
That's the point, right? Is that they have basically three replacement level backup running backs behind Todd Gurley. I mean, which one of those guys is a better?
Cadre Allison going like, man, I'm just sitting here at home. Let me check out the Fantasy Focus. Let me just see what my boy Field Yates is doing. I'm like, oh man, just a drive by.
How would you describe them?
I would describe them as running backs on the Atlanta Falcons.
Okay,
as professional
football
players.
What
I know. I listen.
What
I'm
an
with
incredible
you there.
Endorsement.
So far in their brief NFL careers, none of those guys have shown any sort of special talent.
Right. So let me just further the point here is that if I look at the depth chart, and again, if he was playing, if this was a different circumstance, if it was not the New England Patriots, but the Atlanta Falcons that signed Lamar Miller, or if the Atlanta Falcons signed one of the remaining reasonable veteran running backs, and there are a few reasonable veteran running backs available, then my mindset would shift. But for right now, Matthew, as much as I am concerned about the knee, and it is scary and it seems to grow scarier by the day with all the uncertainties surrounding how much he'll be able to go, no matter who he's playing for, I still think that the workload there is better than a lot of the players that are being drafted somewhere between 5 and 7 running backs behind him, right? So look at some of the players that are being drafted there. And if you want to make the case for these guys over Todd Gurley, I get it. But like Melvin Gordon, Melvin Gordon's in like a co-backfield, right? James White, he's an amazing receiver.
All right, but
Todd Gurley's, hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. So that, like, at some point, the workload's got to be good enough that we and the talent is enough, even in limited touches, that I'm okay with him somewhere around running back 16 to 20 or 21.
So, okay, well, that's lower than ADP.
Well, he's going to be overdrafted based off name, of course.
No, I'm running back. I'm at running back 19. So okay. I don't think the fair comparison is Todd Gurley versus James White. The fair comparison is Todd Gurley versus Joe Mixon or Chris Carson, which is where
it's
going.
ADP. That's too high.
Right. It's Todd Gurley versus Le'Veon Bell or David Johnson or Melvin Gordon, to your point, right?
Yeah.
That's the comparison here. And to your point about the, like, I think everyone assumes this, that everyone assumes, like, oh, they're going to just run Todd Gurley into the ground. He's going to get this massive work share. And to your point, like, the depth chart does not inspire a ton of confidence. But Ito Smith, last year, prior to the season-ending injury, right? Ito Smith had the same number of red zone carries as Devontae Freeman. Like, Ito
Smith. Okay, how did those go?
Right. I'm with you, but I'm just saying, you think about Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman. You think about, like, Ito Smith got more work than you would expect Ito Smith to get before he got hurt. I'm just saying, like, are we 100% sure that Todd Gurley's getting 20 touches a game, and maybe could it be 15? I looked at this. Think about last year. I asked Thirsty Kyle to do this. Okay. Last year, he had 12 rushing touchdowns, Todd Gurley did, which was, I mean, like, it really kind of kept his fantasy value afloat. I said, if you removed all touchdowns, because touchdowns are a little fluky, right? Less so for running backs, but they're a little bit fluky. If we removed all rushing touchdowns from every running back in 2019, just the scores, not the yardage. So if a guy ran for a 7-yard touchdown, we gave him the 7 yards. We just gave him the score. Gurley falls from running back 14 in total points to running back 22. That 8-spot fall was the greatest among the top 25 running backs. He was running back 22 without touchdowns. Again, like,
yeah, but he's still again, top 22 running back. That's not terrible.
It's not terrible, but it's just like, again, like, I think it just goes to point. To me, the pro Todd Gurley argument is usage, and his passing game usage will increase in a significant way, because they didn't use him in the passing game last year in Los Angeles, but they had previously. And Devontae Freeman is somebody that got used a lot in the passing game. And Falcons have traditionally been a team that uses their running backs quite a bit in the passing game.
I'm going to bring Stefania back in here real quick, because I wanted to weigh in one more time. And yeah. I appreciate everybody this year. Obviously, with the logistics, it's a little bit tough to be able to figure things out. So, Stefania, bringing you back in now, you had made a point to me over text while they were talking that I just wanted you to be able to get on air.
Yeah, I think you guys are both making good points. But if you put them together, like Field, you're saying there's not really great depth behind him, so he's going to have all the opportunity. That's the problem, is the temptation is going to be to use him in that way because he is that guy, and I'm just not sure he can hold up. You know, last year the Rams managed his workload, and look at the loss of explosiveness despite less work. And I was just texting Daniel that the only way his value really goes up for me is if the receptions increase, because obviously the pass catching for him was way down. So I could see if they did use him Devontae Freeman style with receptions within the red zone and he had scoring opportunity, his value goes up. But if they overutilize him early, it's going to be a big problem for him this year.
Yeah.
No, great point, Stefania, and I appreciate that. To that point, the Falcons had almost double the amount of running back targets that the Rams did last year, 110 to 61. So,
opportunity's there.
Yeah, it is. Look, and by the way, would it shock me if Todd Gurley had a great fantasy year? It wouldn't. It wouldn't. But I think in the range that he's going, there's guys that I think are a little bit less risky than Todd Gurley for me. Again, I have him at running back 19. Lower than the consensus at running back 15, which is where his ADP is.
Lots of wide receivers and pass catchers to discuss in just a second with the Falcons. But first,
this podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's number 8 SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8 SAVE. Jet's Pizza, better because it has to be.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com today or just stop by.
All right, so for the Falcons, and
if I can interrupt you for a second.
Yeah. That's the first time you're that whole season.
I don't think it counts because it hadn't really started
yet. You just said, if I could interrupt you for a second, how can you be like, that's the whole point is the interruption.
Yeah, but no one's listening to what I say.
Well, that's pretty accurate.
If you wanted some insurance for Todd Gurley, is there one of those guys that you like more than the other?
Not for a roster spot. No. I mean, the same thing we talked about yesterday when we were discussing whether you want to you know, backup Le'Veon Bell with LaMichael Perine or Frank Gore. Not for a roster spot. Nope.
I agree with you, but I just wanted to get that out of the way. You know, there's a trend on Twitter, hashtag never Julio. People that, no, some of it use it, some people use it mockingly.
Okay.
Some people use it mockingly, but there are definitely some people that feel like they don't like Julio Jones, you know, in terms of where he goes for ADP, that he doesn't score enough touchdowns. Where are you on Julio Jones?
They don't like where he finishes, huh? That's weird.
Yeah, it's super weird.
Yeah, that is weird. Yeah, so I didn't want to have a long conversation about Julio Jones. Instead, I wanted to just have basically an appreciation post for Julio Jones because, Matthew, we can belabor it and we can have, you know, nitpicking moments over his touchdowns and whether I know Daniel infamously was out on Julio Jones or
I'm
maybe
back in
still
on
is,
Julio
back
Jones.
In.
Right.
I feel like I was proven wrong.
You were not a never Julio. You were just a not Julio now.
I didn't feel great about it after a couple seasons where I had rostered him and he scored 4 and 6 touchdowns. And it's right. Like, I wanted more than that. But like, I have more you guys have him this year.
So guys, like, this is not that difficult. Over the past 6 seasons, here's where Julio Jones has finished amongst wide receivers. 3rd, 4th, 7th, 6th, 2nd, 6th. What more is there to say?
Pretty
He's got
floor.
6 straight seasons of at least 1,300 receiving yards. He will break that record, which is currently shared with Torrey Holt at 6 this season. The guy has more receiving yards through his first 9 seasons in his NFL career than any player ever. Julio Jones is built differently. We have many, 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 many great wide receivers. I'm here to tell you, I think Julio Jones is the single most talented wide receiver we have in the NFL right now. The dude is not, I'm not convinced he's human. So the question about Julio is not whether he's going to be awesome. Never Julio people, get a new hobby. Get a new shtick. Like, find something better.
Right.
It just may be where you draft him. And then probably it's more about how sweet is Calvin really this year. That's really the Falcons wide receiver conversation.
Yeah, I agree with you. Julio Jones is good. Hashtag analysis.
That was great.
There you go.
That was great by you.
In fact, you know what?
Can we clip that for video?
Yeah. If the social team could
headline.
Get that. Julio Jones.
Actually,
in fact, you know what? Hang on. Let me do a deeper dive here.
Let me guess. To the news desk.
Julio Jones. Hooli? Really good.
Okay. We got that one filed to the news desk?
There we go. Yeah. Filed to ESPN.
Got it.
Can you, right. The Schefter, breaking news alert. Anyway.
Schefter confirmed it.
I will just say that, other networks confirmed it. Anyway, but listen, here's the thing on Julio. The one thing I will say is that so you and I both have him at wide receiver 4. Just he's going in the same range. Give me Julio Jones over, you know, somebody like DeAndre Hopkins or Chris Godwin, guys that are also elite players that I expect to have good fantasy years, but are in different situations. Again, as we talk about lack of practice and preparation and, hurried up ramp up to the season and everything that's going on with COVID, no preseason games, et cetera, I want the guys that are in the same system with the same quarterbacks. Obviously, there's a connection between Ryan and Julio that hasn't developed yet between Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins, or Tom Brady and Chris Godwin, et cetera, et cetera.
All right, so let's talk about Calvin Ridley, because there is a bit of a conversation there. And right now his ADP is 19 amongst wide receivers. You have him at 20. I have him at 20. Daniel has him at 21. He finished last year as wide receiver 18. He was 30th in the NFL amongst wide receivers in terms of targets last year and 21st in terms of catches. He is a player that a lot of people are discussing as a possible breakthrough and breakout candidate. Heck, he was my pick for the breakout player of the year in fantasy football when we did that column, whatever it was, a month or so ago. But he's also been really good. Like, part of me, when I look back on that, is I'm like, this guy's been a star, but right. I think there's a chance that we see a quantum leap from Calvin Ridley this year. Do you agree or disagree?
Look, I am in the same place you are. Look, I mean, I don't think you're – I honestly don't think you're allowed to be a fantasy analyst this year if you're not on Calvin Ridley. He's just one of those guys, like, listen, like a lot of people were on Chris Godwin last year, including us, right? I mean, like, there's just a couple of guys every year that just feels like the entire fantasy community just sort of all at the same time sort of says, like, you know, hey, you look at the trends, you look at the talent, you're watching the film, you're just like, this guy's a special kid. And Calvin Ridley is it. 8 career games where Calvin Ridley has 8 or more targets. In those 8 games, 56 receptions, 822 yards, 9 touchdowns, 24.2 fantasy points per game. Just to give you a comparison of what 24.2 means, last year, Michael Thomas, the number one wide receiver in fantasy, 23.4. I mean, just like if you give Calvin Ridley, you know, a decent amount of looks, and 8 targets is a lot, but it's not like an insane amount, you know, for a pass-heavy offense like the Falcons.
128, that's definitely doable with no Mohamed Sanu. And I get it, they have other players that are, you know, Russell Gage, et cetera, but, you know, the pass catching void is legit.
There's not a lot of, Russell, you've got Russell Gage there and you've got Hayden Hurst, who we're going to get to in a second, but you know, Hayden Hurst, it's a new team for him as well. It's going to be the Julio and Calvin show. And so certainly talented player that we've seen so far, but I think I'm with you that he is somebody that will take another leap this year. I'm in on Calvin Ridley.
Definitely oozes upside. Let's get back to Stefania here, because Stefania, Hayden Hurst was traded this offseason from Baltimore to Atlanta, and seems like opportunity abounds for him with the Falcons. But first, we got to make sure that he is medically checked out. And what do you know about Hayden Hurst and his health outlook for this season?
I think it's great. You know, he's such a great story, coming from a transition from minor league baseball player to a tight end who ends up getting drafted in the first round in 2018. But unfortunately, when he started into his NFL career, he had a stress fracture in his foot. It caused him to miss the entire first month. And really, you know, in the Ravens offense, he was one of many talented tight ends. So we really didn't see a lot of him in 2018. Then last year, 2019, I think he had 30 catches for 349 yards, 2 touchdowns, and we started to see what that talent was. So when Austin Hooper leaves Atlanta, obviously he became a target for the Falcons. Now, he's been working out with Matt Ryan, even in this altered offseason, and Matt Ryan said he's incredibly impressed by him. Matthew, I know you like it when you see the players are working out together in the offseason, because the connection implies that maybe Matt Ryan's going to trust him and throw to him this year. But I think the fact that he's coming in healthy, he's got a great outlook, he's got great opportunity, he'll slot in at the top of the tight end group there. And I think we're going to see what we couldn't see in Baltimore, where it was a crowded tight end room.
Thank you.
Excellent
Stefania,
insight.
I agree.
Yeah.
Did you look up Gangnam Style, by the way, what it means? Did you do that?
Oh, I'm on it.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, right, Stefania. We'll talk to you again in a little bit. I want an answer. You think I'm kidding? I'm not.
So, Matthew, you are, I don't know about all in, but you are definitely optimistic on Hayden Hurst right now, more so than I am, and I need to adjust my rank. I'm too low on him at 18. You have him at tight end 9, Daniel at tight end 20. So, he does feel like another player that is a sort of a pretty, I don't know if it's a cliche, but he is a fairly popular candidate to see a big bump this year in terms of overall role. Part of the reason why they traded the second round pick for him. And no Austin Hooper, as Stefania mentioned, and the Falcons have always been excellent in the middle of the field passing game. Should this be a player that you should be feeling comfortable as your starting tight end going into the fantasy season?
Yeah, I certainly, you know, listen, obviously I have him as a top 10 tight end, so I agree. I do. You know, you mentioned the role, the Austin Hooper role. People forget, before he got hurt, or at the time that he got hurt, Austin Hooper was the number one tight end in fantasy.
Yeah.
Right? The
Falcons
top 10 in terms of tight end targets last year. They were top 6 in terms of tight end red zone targets. And we talked about it. So, you know, you've got Russell Gage, and we like Russell Gage, like sort of a deep late round PPR flyer, I guess. But there's just, you know, it's Julio, it's Ridley, it's Hurst. Like, it's those three guys for one of the most pass heavy teams in the NFL, what we expect to be, once again, very pass heavy offense here. And so Hayden Hurst, I think people forget, was drafted ahead of Mark Andrews. Like the Raven.
And Lamar Jackson.
Yes, and Lamar Jackson. Like, the Ravens really liked Hayden Hurst coming out of college, and then he got hurt to start his career. Mark Andrews, you know, emerged, and that was that. But this is a guy who does not have a drop in the NFL. He's gotten 62 NFL targets, does not have a drop. You know, again, it's all small sample size, but 7th among tight ends in yards per target, 13th in yards per route. Like, just a nice player that, again, a team that trades a second-round pick isn't fooling around.
Yeah.
He's not just a guy to them.
Yeah, it certainly is. It's a projection because of the small sample size you alluded to, but an optimistic one for Hayden Hurst, a really talented player, as you also mentioned. We're going to talk about the Panthers in just a second, but when we have to do really smart things, we bring in Stefania. So, Stefania, I hand the microphone over to you.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Stefania, do you think, I think you're better off hoping that Rico doesn't poop in bed. I think that's really where we're at with Rico at this point. I think, you know, I mean, before
I don't
you ask
think
him,
you.
Go ahead. What do you got?
I don't think you want me to share with the audience what your dog tried to do to my dog.
You can absolutely share. I don't care. You can share that, what Cooper did.
So one of the things about CMC that I'm really excited about this year.
We had a socially distant outdoor play date between Rico and Cooper, Stefania and Beth, and they let me tag along, of course.
That was kind of them.
Yeah, of course. My work wife and my actual wife got together, and they let me tag along. Tell the story, Stefania. Go ahead.
I'm proud of Cooper. Well, I will. I'm sure you're going to interrupt me because that's what you do. But Rico, who was such a good boy and went right away to play with Cooper. And Matthew tells me Cooper likes to pee on everything so he can claim ownership. So Cooper tried to lift his leg and pee in my dog's face. I intervened because I have lightning quick reflexes and I did not allow that to happen. And what does Rico do? He goes and shares a toy with Cooper nonetheless because he's next. I raise Rico. Matthew Bray's Cooper, you know, best of
You're not surprised by the results.
No. Rico understood his place in the universe. He didn't want to mess with Cooper. He's like, here, take my toy, Cooper.
Yeah. What a guy that Cooper's, Rico actually.
Rico's probably what, Stefania? Like 20 pounds? Like, because Cooper's 10. Cooper's like a little, you know.
No, Rico's like 28 pounds.
Yeah. Cisco. Rico's a much bigger dog.
Wow.
Cisco Goldberg is much.
Cisco's much, like 60 pounds.
Right. Big, Cisco's 60.
But I'm just telling you, if you brought Cisco around, you know what Cooper would do? Pee on him.
Well, Cisco would probably stiff-arm Cooper like Derrick Henry to a Jaguars defender.
So is there such a thing as more dominance in the NFL than Christian McCaffrey, guys?
Daniel,
that's what
way
I
to go.
Know.
You are the best
that
in the business.
A segue.
We'll talk to Stefania in just a couple seconds, by the way. But in fantasy football, Matthew, you always talk about whether you want the player with the highest ceiling or the player with the highest floor. But what makes Christian McCaffrey rare in so many ways, but one of the ways that he is rare is that he offers both the highest ceiling and the highest floor in fantasy football this year, perhaps amongst non-quarterbacks, maybe just in general. Christian McCaffrey, the MVP of fantasy football last year. Christian McCaffrey, the highest paid running back ever in NFL history. The player who averaged nearly 30 points per game. Christian McCaffrey, is there any way, in any shape or form, is there any way that you would ever entertain anything other than taking Christian McCaffrey 1.01 in basically any scoring format?
Me personally, no.
Okay.
I've been in some super flex leagues where I've seen people take Lamar Jackson over him. But then he goes second.
Right, yeah.
You know, we were in the Scott Fishbowl, and a few people that had the 101 took Lamar Jackson number one. But I had 101 there, and I took Christian McCaffrey. I don't know how you wouldn't. Again, just the running back position, the depth at quarterback, you know, give me Christian McCaffrey. I get it. Listen, he had a historic year last year. There's a new offense, new quarterback. But still, the usage, it should be, once again, massive. This is what's crazy about him, right? Just a couple of fun, like, Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, appreciation
awesome.
Post.
Amazing stats here. So he had 240 points as a pass catcher last season. Like if you took away all of his rushing, he would have been wide receiver 12.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
Hilarious.
He would have been a top 12 wide receiver last year. By the way, you take away all the receiving, he would have been running back 13.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, he's basically a starting running back and a starting wide receiver. He's a wide receiver one and a running back one as the same player. Thirsty Kyle, you can jump on and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe had Christian McCaffrey stopped playing after week 12 last year, he still would have been the number one running back in fantasy.
Wow, that is ridiculous. Here's my call. So we'll have some fun with this. We had to do, at some point during the offseason, we had to do a bold call at one of the insider roundtables that took part of on occasion.
Yeah. And they never asked me to do that. Do you think it's because of an outsider?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Mine was, and I wonder, we can potentially board bet this if you disagree.
All right.
Christian McCaffrey became the third player in NFL history with 1,000 rushing yards and 1,000 receiving yards in the same season last year.
Okay.
I think he's become the first player in NFL history to ever do it in back-to-back seasons. He's doing it again this year.
I agree. I like that call.
Okay, never mind.
I like
the board
call.
Bet it then.
Yeah, super bold if Matthew also agrees, Field. Yeah. Maybe go out on a limb for once.
I mean, he just likes my insight. That's
is that what it is?
It's a little, well, I like it more than Daniel's. Tell you this, I'll tell you two quick things here. First off, just breaking it down, what do I think the Panthers are going to be this year? I think they're going to be similar to last year, which is I think they're going to be a horrible defense that they're going to have to be throwing a lot. Then you think about what Teddy Bridgewater does. Teddy Bridgewater likes to throw short. He's very accurate, but he is one of the league leaders in terms of smallest average depth of target. Like he, or one of the lowest, you know, depending on how you want to define it. But basically, he's a guy that likes to throw close to the line of scrimmage. He's a dink and dunk type quarterback. So okay. I think you're going to see, once again, a lot of dump offs and a lot of just usage of Christian McCaffrey, who, listen, they paid the man. They have to use it. I was at the NFL Combine, and I was at Matt Rhule's press conference, his opening press conference. And understand that at the time, Cam Newton was still on the roster, and there was a lot of questions sort of around Cam Newton.
Right.
Is he going to be released? What's going on? Everything like that. And so Matt Rhule was very, very, like, you know, first coach at his first NFL press conference kind of thing. And he goes, listen, you know, we love Cam, but, you know, nothing's guaranteed. I'm coming in. Everyone's going to compete for a starting job. You know, we want a competition, whole thing. You know, does that whole coach speak. And I so desperately wanted to, and I didn't have the guts to do this, but I so wanted to raise my hand and be like, Coach, what does Christian McCaffrey have to do to earn that starting job this year? You just said that everyone, that there, no one has a starting job yet. Everyone has to get, like, go back and watch that press conference. And he literally said, there's not one player on the team that has a starting job. Everyone's going to have to earn it. And I literally wanted to ask him that, and I just didn't have the guts.
I got two things real quick. That was one of my proudest days of you, Matthew, because I asked you to be at X number of press conferences, and you were at everyone on the dot, on time. I was so proud of you
that day. Thank you very much. I was.
Yeah.
Field Yates was, like, doing interviews and, like,
he was off everywhere.
Flat-handing, yeah. Taking pictures.
So if you guys already answered this as a part of this, I apologize. But CMC is the number one pick in your draft.
Yeah.
Unless there is... What? Unless you use a custom scoring in a quarterback league?
Yeah, that's what Matthew said. Like Scott Fishbowl, where right. It actually is not just a super flex league, but there are some advantages to a running quarterback. You get points for first downs and other things like that.
And you have to be QB league? Would you?
I'm taking Christian McCaffrey.
You still take one?
Yep. Still taking Christian McCaffrey because there's good quarterback depth this year. There really is. I could see 25, 27 being reasonable and usable and not like you have to use them. Like you could actually feel good about using them.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about the other players in this roster, Matthew, on offense. And you were just talking about how Teddy Bridgewater is a very accurate quarterback, but not a particularly aggressive quarterback down the field. Whether this was last year or the year before, there was a time where DJ Moore was near the top of yards per catch after the catch amongst all players in the NFL. The guy is incredibly explosive, very fast, player who showed that in Maryland, showed it at the Combine. He was wide receiver 16 last year on a points-per-game basis. By extension of the fact that Teddy Bridgewater is now the quarterback of the Panthers, do you think that his value actually catapults to the point where we could see him hovering around a top 10 wide receiver season this year? Because I do.
He certainly got the talent. Look, and we expect this to be a pass-heavy offense. They were second in the NFL in pass attempts last year, and I know it's an entirely new coaching staff, but again, listen, it's a bad defense.
Right.
It is.
Yeah. Yep.
They're going to have to rebuild. And listen, we are cautiously optimistic about what Joe Brady's going to bring this offense.
Not even cautiously, like super optimistic.
Yeah, yeah. Like, obviously, a really smart guy.
Yeah.
And so we're excited to sort of see what that looks like. And I think we talked about this around the combine. Like, what do we think this offense is going to be? Like, you just sort of think you've got a super accurate quarterback who passes short, right? And then you got Chris McCaffrey, DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, Robbie Anderson, all guys that have speed to burn, all guys that can take a bubble screen and go 80 yards, right? Or that can take a slant. And so is this an offense that's going to be basically like, hey, let's try to get these guys in space. Let's use all four of these guys. Let the defense confuse, try to get mismatches, get them the ball in space, and try to, like, we're going to try to lead the league in yards after the catch.
That's the formula. We can't be too reliant upon what the Panthers looked like last year and too reliant on what LSU looked like last year, only because LSU had probably three legitimate first-round wide receiver prospects on that LSU roster last year, and obviously all kinds of talent on that LSU offense. But to your point, Matthew, the formula this year is going to be make it simple for Teddy Bridgewater. We're going to have to score a lot of points because we're going to be down frequently. It's going to benefit players like DJ Moore and Christian McCaffrey, and I just like the player a lot. I think he's going to show himself. And the only thing that sort of dragged him down last year was the lack of touchdown score.
Right.
He was top 10 in targets and receiving yards per game, and he was number 11 in catches per game. He just didn't find the end zone that frequently. I'm of the mind they will find the end zone more this year than last year. So
I have him slightly lower than you. I'm at 13. My only concern here is, I mean, when you talk, I mean, like, he got two targets inside the 10-yard line, like two, and then, again, they added Robbie Anderson, and so, it's a new quarterback, and it's a new offense, and so just, again, like, you have to nitpick. We both agree he's an elite talent. He's an elite talent. the question is just at that level, I feel like you have to nitpick a little bit here. And there are other guys in situations where I think there might be, you know, there's a little bit more familiarity or a little bit more upside. But yeah, I mean, he is a borderline wide receiver one for me. And you guys are both, you know, we're all sort of right there on DJ Moore.
A few other Panthers to discuss in just a minute because there's some interesting names. But first, Matthew, from you. So a couple of Panthers to discuss in just a second, but I do want to encourage those that haven't yet had the experience to watch us live on the variety of platforms that we are live every single day, especially with many people working from home. And we're sensitive to the fact that you're still working, but maybe you have a little bit more flexibility to have an extra screen going somewhere. But part of the reason why is, I don't know if anybody who is watching or if you happen to catch this, but we were just flashing a graphic of the most PPR points scored since the start of the 2017 season. So 3 years. Christian McCaffrey, number one by a wide margin. But did you see who number two was? And I want to know who takes credit for building this graphic, because not Russell Wilson, Mr. Unlimited.
I've only seen, is there anything more to the character than just him saying that phrase that way?
Mr.
Unlimited.
The best part is it's from like 3 years ago. That wasn't a recently shot video.
Yeah,
I think Warren Sharp brought it back up, and just sort of gained traction, which is how the world works sometimes. Right. Haley, that was
you. We love
you
Warren Sharp.
Kyle!
Thirsty.
Kyle.
Oh, yeah, you got to put him in there. It's just so cringy.
Mr.
It's so
Unlimited.
That's bad.
Just so you know, Thirsty Kyle, with his 12-year-old boy haircut,
just called
Russell Wilson cringy.
Kyle's not cringy. Kyle is
the video was cringy. Russell Wilson's a fine guy. You know, he's got to do his thing. That video, you can't tell me was anything but cringy.
Yeah, it was actually pretty goofy. It was pretty goofy. I was a little bit embarrassed for Russell Wilson. And then I thought about it. And I'm like, oh, he's making $35 million a year. He's married to Sierra. He's got a huge house and like unlimited sponsorship deals. So he's actually doing okay.
Have you ever met Russell Wilson?
I have. Yeah.
Yeah. So and I know Daniel Dopp has actually caught a touchdown pass.
People
from
forget
Wilson.
That. Yeah.
I've met him a couple times too. Like, that's him.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, and you see the NFL films or whatever, you know, in the cornball, if you will, in the huddle and that that's him. Like that, he's just, which by the way, is super genuine and sweet. You know what I mean? And it's, I think, one of the reasons why he's beloved in the Seattle community and beloved by his teammates.
Yeah, people who don't like Russell Wilson are just jealous of all the things he's accomplished already in his career and in his life. Let's get back to the Carolina Panthers and let's talk.
Was he like that in the huddle with you, Daniel?
All the time.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just such a positive guy. Like, how you can't like not like being around him.
Of course, you got to enjoy Russell Wilson. Appreciate him. Let Russ cook.
Yeah. Similar to me, right? Like, just positive all the time. Great to be around someone you just really enjoy.
Curtis Samuel Field is interested in this year.
Curtis Samuel. So there are three, maybe four other Panthers I want to discuss. And
yes,
so
sir.
I'm tempted, but I'm not going to do it. Teddy Bridgewater, he's got really good pass catchers, a really good offensive coordinator. He could benefit by letting a lot of the other players do the work for him this year. Not to underscore him as a player, or not to undervalue him as a player, but all these great run-after-catch players that I am a little bit tempted to try to move Teddy Bridgewater up in my quarterback ranks, but I have resisted doing so up to this point because he is so conservative by nature, and I don't know that I see a 4,000-yard and 30-touchdown season.
But I think for people that are playing best ball leagues, like if you have the 101, if you have the 101 in a super flex league, I like drafting Christian McCaffrey and stacking him with Teddy Bridgewater. I think that's an interesting option if you're playing, you know, DraftKings or FanDuel or something like that, you know, like that in a tournament. That's going to be an interesting stack. I think some weeks I like it in the super flex. In the Scott Fishbowl that we talked about, I had the 101. I took Christian McCaffrey. My third quarterback was Teddy Bridgewater. I picked him. So, yes, there's certainly some upside. I think he's a deeper league or two quarterback league guy, but somebody keep... It would not surprise me if Teddy Bridgewater has a good fantasy year.
And I know that's what we're trying to avoid, is saying like, it wouldn't surprise me if this guy did well, because that's the case with a lot of players. Particularly having a hard time totally dismissing Teddy Bridgewater as a viable fantasy quarterback this season. But there are three pass catchers, Matthew. I'm going to name them. Curtis Samuel, as Daniel just referenced. Robbie Anderson, who was signed to a two-year deal around $20 million. And Ian Thomas, the tight end out of Indiana, who stepped into a role when Greg Olsen got hurt last year. Of course, Greg Olsen is now a Seattle Seahawk. Do any of those players pique your interest? And should any of them be players that we should be hovering on the draft radar this year? Because if we think it's an exciting offense and we think that the pretty talented guys, could one of them potentially maybe make a difference?
I know this is going to sound insane, but actually I'm going to go Ian Thomas.
That's
of those guys.
Good. Yeah.
Right? So he's had 8 career games with 5 or more targets, averaged over 11 fantasy points per game in those games. Like, I mean, it's all been small sample size, but it's, you know, he's shown those flashes. And so again, he's a guy that's not even really being drafted. He's going to be a starting tight end on what we think is going to be a pass first offense. He has shown some success there. Like Ian Thomas, I think is a, you know, we say this a lot, but right, tight end 2 with upside. Yeah. I like Ian Thomas. You're hearing some positive reports about him out of camp. It's one of the reasons why they were okay letting Greg Olsen go, is because they were so enamored with Ian Thomas and the upside there. I like Robbie Anderson and Curtis Samuel as players, but I don't think either of them are going to have, barring injury, consistent fantasy value where you feel comfortable starting them, especially when you think about, you know, DJ Moore's getting his and you know Christian McCaffrey's getting his.
Yeah, so a lot of people were asking, you know, Robbie Anderson or Curtis Samuel if they are fixated on a second Panthers wide receiver. To be clear, I think in a vacuum there's more value to Curtis Samuel as a player than Robbie Anderson, but for some reason it just doesn't quite feel like Curtis Samuel has ever been like totally entirely he ran the most routes in the NFL last year, so he played a lot, but like he hasn't been uncorked. And Robbie Anderson, not only did he sign a 2-year deal for $20 million, everybody knows this probably, but Robbie Anderson played for Matt Rhule in college. He played for him at Temple. So there's some, I think he's a preferred player for him. And I understand that he is a vertical threat and Teddy Bridgewater is a conservative quarterback. But I do wonder if there's some ability to get more out of him, especially with Joe Brady at the offensive reins this year. But I think all of these players, based off where they're being drafted, Matthew, like none of them are going to be the kind of investments that you make that like really cripple your roster if they don't work out for you. They're all like, you know, wide receiver 53, wide receiver 51, and undrafted tight ends. That's where they are in terms of ADP right
now. Two quick questions before we get to social questions here. First question is, are you buying the theory that should something happen to Christian McCaffrey, the insurance on him is not Reggie Bonifant, but Curtis Samuel, that they will use him more as a running back? That there are people that feel like he is the insurance. They'll use him more as a running back, which, you know, you saw in college, obviously.
Yeah, that was his, yeah. No, I'm not buying that.
Okay. Second question. You mentioned how Robbie Anderson was a wide receiver for Matt Rhule when Matt was coaching at Temple. Do you know who the quarterback was?
PJ Walker.
XFL superstar.
That's right.
PJ Walker, who
now
is they're now
a third-string quarterback.
On the Carolina Panthers.
That's right.
There you go. Well done. Too
bad. Do I get a trivia point for
nope.
that?
I don't,
come on.
Nope,
I need,
nope,
I'm
nope.
having a tough stretch. I haven't got one since last Monday.
Yes. Get better, Field. Sorry.
Remember how the first trivia
I missed the Houston
question?
Roughnecks. By the way, I'm speaking of the XFL real quick. So psyched about The Rock bringing that back.
God bless the ownership group that's investing in them. I'm excited. I think
I
we could all stand to benefit
the
from
Rock
more
and
XFL
Red Bird
in
Capital.
Our life.
Well done. All right. Do we have some social questions? Who's giving those to us?
You bet we do. Daniel is going to. That's my name. We're going to go. We are going to do FF Down Under wants to know.
Yeah.
I'm going to try really
hard.
Fan
of the show. Our New Zealand producer, Haley, is asking you to do it in an Australian accent.
We have a huge following down under.
If I am not good at this, please forgive me.
It's probably because of Crocodile Dundee in Los Angeles.
Or Haley.
This is going to be British.
Entirely does the possible. Payout structure of your league impact how you draft? No, that was very bad.
That was sort of piratey, but pretty good. Yeah.
It was like an Australian pirate.
Yeah. But does the payout structure of your league impact how you guys draft?
No.
No, not really.
No.
Okay. I mean, unless it's something super unique.
Just makes you want to win it that much more.
Like if there's something where it's like, you know, if the top 18 or like every team that makes the playoff is guaranteed like their money back, then maybe I would be a little bit more give myself a shot.
Maybe the only thing that would adjust how I draft based on that, it would be what's the format and number of teams. So if I'm in a large tournament, you know, where there's a lot of teams, then you need to, you know, you might pick an offense that you want to stack, like, you know, like for, you know, like you might say, I want Dak, I want Cooper, Gallup, and Jarwin, you know, and Zeke. Like maybe just say, like, I'm going to go all in on the Cowboys or something like that. You know, a unique roster construction. That's the only thing that I would do that. But no, truthfully, listen, I play fantasy football for fun. Like I play in leagues where there is money and entry fees, but, you know, like for me, it's all about bragging rights.
I got two more quick.
Yeah,
want to answer social questions.
That's fine.
So one comes from YG_Moon on Twitter, wants to know full PPR, You taking Jonathan Taylor or Devontae Parker as your flex?
I'll go with Devontae Parker because it's PPR and it's a flex spot. So you're, you know, I would say that I'm, yeah, but it's close. That's
I'm going to go Jonathan Taylor because I think the next round I've got a better chance at getting a good wide receiver than a running back. Like Jonathan Taylor could be, listen, Devontae Parker has a higher floor, but I think Jonathan Taylor's got a chance to be really special.
Okay. All right. This last one comes from at OC grad. If someone in fact does take my cookies, how should I respond?
Go bake some more.
Go bake some more.
Wow. All right. We're going to do the Geico trivia question of the day.
But like part of the problem is that you shouldn't have, you know, a finite amount of cookies. You should have unlimited cookies.
That was actually pretty good. I'm going to give him credit for that.
I don't want to, but all right. That's fine if we can. Kyle, let's bring in the Geico trivia question of the day.
I'm in the kitchen. I'm Chef Unlimited. All right. What do we got?
Speaking of, yeah, that's a... Calvin Ridley has over 400 points in his first two seasons. He obviously comes from Alabama. That's the fourth highest total through two seasons since 2004 by an Alabama product. Who tops that list?
Calvin Ridley has 403 career fantasy points, giving the fourth highest total by an Alabama product in his first two NFL seasons since 2004. Who tops that list? So it's an Alabama graduate who had over 400, who had the most points in his first 2 years
correct
in the NFL?
Since 2004.
God, Kyle, you are ruthless. Like,
we might as well be asking
one,
like, financial questions.
This one you can get. Field, I think you get this one.
Like,
there's
I probably 40 won't, qualifiers like, as a part of these questions.
I'm not looking at things ahead of time. I don't want to like cheat myself. I want to do this on the fly. And Lord, these are tough. Stefania, hello to you. Do you want to give the answer first of who you think it might be that tops this list?
Are you asking me?
Yes. And who do you might have to read it because it's hard to see your... Can't read.
I went and got a Sharpie and everything. Julio Jones.
Ooh, interesting guess.
Answer.
I'm going to... okay. Matthew, who do you think it is?
I also have Julio Jones.
Okay. I don't think it's Julio because I'm 95% positive Julio got hurt in his second pro season in the NFL. I'm going to go with Mark Ingram, and ooh, I don't feel great about that.
Yeah, I thought about Mark Ingram too, but Mark Ingram struggled his first year in New Orleans. Like, people were considering him a bust very early on.
I thought it was Amari Cooper.
Trent Richardson was also
Amari
a name.
Cooper is a ooh, pretty good. Amari Cooper is a pretty good guess.
Mark Ingram ranks 11th. Yeah. Julio Jones ranks 2nd. Amari Cooper ranks 3rd. My guy Eddie Lacy tops the list with 515.1 points in two seasons.
That is,
you
wow
know what?
Well done.
Right, we should do it. Should Julio Jones gets? I've made an executive decision that Stefania and I split a point there.
No, that's actually
Julio
not
Jones,
at all
that's
how it
works.
Works. Not even
100%
close.
How it works?
Yeah, Eddie Lacy.
How it works?
Yeah. Okay.
You know what else works? Rotopass.com.
Oh.
You know, I'm just saying. Like we mentioned Warren Sharp earlier. We added Warren Sharp. We've got RotoViz in there. They're great apps. We've got football guys and our friends at RotoWire. RosterWatch is amazing as well. And ESPN Plus. You get a full subscription to ESPN Plus. You can watch The Fantasy Show with me and Daniel. You can read all of Mike Clay's stuff. You read Mel and Todd and all the different things. You do some stuff for ESPN Plus as well. No, does Stefania as well. It's the best deal on the internet, and you get 10% off with the promo code 06010. Draft software, customized ranks, amazing analysis, video, everything you could possibly need for season long and DFS there in the RotoPass. Go to rotopass.com. Use the promo code 06010.
36 show violations. Have a great weekend to you, Matthew. But more importantly, have a great weekend, Stefania Bell. And to all those listening to the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast, we're back on Monday. More Double Trouble.
Make sure you wash off Rico. Peace out.
You're in the 06010. Never gonna hustle, in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me, because I don't think you could.
Jeff Bayfield Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Barry convert you.
Secret Squad.